most powerful forces of good ever assembled. These are the Super Friends.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Let's go, Bob.
Up, up, and away!
Hey there, everybody. It's time for another issue of what some guy somewhere on the internet once said when he was drunk is the bestest podcast ever. That's right, nerdling. It's the Comic Corner Podcast time with me, your host, Jeff Muller, also known as the Mighty Jerd, and that rotten scoundrel I call a co-host, Tyler Waterman. How's my sidekick doing tonight?
Dude, I am definitely not the sidekick. And also, you've got to stop getting drunk and getting on the internet.
You are totally the sidekick. And, well, I have to drink to do a podcast with you. So there we go.
Oh, that's fair.
All right. Now, I know what you might be thinking out there. You might be thinking to yourself, holy crap, what sort of internet sorcery has brought me another Geek Legacy Comic Corner podcast so quickly? Well, don't worry. We aren't on a Marvel double shift schedule. It's just that everyone's life is getting turned around next week by the nerd orgy known as the San Diego Comic-Con. So tonight, we're going to talk about some comic news, review some comics. I'm going to let you all in on a great new promotion we're going to be running. And then I'm going to point and laugh at Tyler for not coming with me to San Diego. Yes, if you can't see it right now, but through the internet, poor Tyler is crying. There's a tear running down his face.
There's just something in my eye. Well, yeah, it's very sad, and I am very sad that I won't be there. But at least I can send you out to scout ahead, and at least you'll get all the germs.
Oh, yeah, that is true. It is a filthy, filthy cesspool of germs. But worst case is it turns into fanboys versus zombies, and then I'm fine with it. So
I think you'll do really well with that, actually.
Yeah, me too.
We'll use you as a live correspondent.
Nice. I dig it. I could go ambush bug style. All right. So let's tell the listeners what's been going on since last week in comic news.
Normally there's not a whole lot in just 1 week, but there was kind of a whole lot in just 1 week. One of them's really frustrating. So already we haven't actually technically started Infinity yet. And we already know what's happening after Infinity. Now, you know, we have talked about this many a time on the show. I'm a big fan of crossover events. Generally speaking, I tend to really like them. But even this even pisses me off. The reason it's annoying, it's called Inhumanity. And it's out there, it's everywhere, so spoiler alert, I suppose, but you can't really, it's everywhere. It basically, the essential part of it is at some point in Infinity, for some reason, Earth is going to be covered in Terrigen Mists. And if you're not familiar with that, it's basically this thing that the Inhumans protect that will unlock, if your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy was an Inhuman, it will unlock your powers. Now, that could be you can grow your fingernails, or that could be you can throw a train 40 miles. It really ranges. But at the end of the day, this covers Earth, unlocks all these powers and all of these people, and now we go from here. Would they kind of refer to it as a pre-House of M level back when everybody was a mutant? Everybody's going to be an Inhuman now. And it's frustrating because I would have much rather seen that happen during Infinity. That would have been a lot cooler than just to see it in a press release in Entertainment Weekly while I was having my morning coffee. Like, that kind of sucks. And the teaser image is mind-boggling. It has Spider-Man in his regular costume. It's the focus guy in the middle is Nightcrawler, who last I checked was dead. And it doesn't look like the young one that was kicking around from the Age of Apocalypse. It's got Wolverine in a new costume. Don't worry, guys. We can at least rest assured that Wolverine is in it. But, I mean, Angela's there. That's cool. But it's just why I would have liked to at least gotten half of the event before I got a part of the event. I don't know. It's overhype. It's way too much. You don't need to go this far out.
Calm down, man. It's all right.
Mad about it.
No,
mad
I know. About it. I know. I hear you. It seems to be all too common now where important tidbits get leaked via press releases, or they tell what's coming three steps down the line, which kind of gives you an idea what's going to happen in the next step, because you have you kind of connect the dots in your head and create that logical path from where we are now to where we're going to be. And it does kind of suck. It takes some of the fun out of reading the books, because you kind of know where they're going.
Yeah, exactly right. But this whole time going into Infinity, one of the things I thought was, I can't wait to see what role the Inhumans play. Well, now I already know. Great. Thanks, Marvel. Now, and apparently I managed to avoid another spoiler that you were telling me about that I didn't know was even out there. So I think we should warn folks, a public spoiler announcement. This is apparently pretty big.
Oh, yeah. So I heard this, and I'm not 100% sure it's true because I was afraid to click on any links. But over at io9.com, you know, there was a story that Geoff Johns evidently blurted out the ending to Trinity in an interview. So I immediately went on media lockdown because I didn't want to know how the big DC event was going to end. So anyone out there, I'd be cautious of clicking on any Geoff Johns interviews if you're invested in the Trinity story. I don't know if it's true or not, but just throwing it out there.
Yeah, it's, wow. All right, I don't click on anything that says Trinity War right now. I won't. I promise I won't.
Probably a smart move. Well, now, I don't know about you, but I had a veritable crap ton of books to read this week. It seems like everyone and their mother is jumping on the double ship bandwagon. I can't keep track of book. You know, I'm looking through my new books in Comixology, and I'm like, didn't I just read that last week? I can't even remember week to week what I've read anymore because they're all starting to blend together. It's kind of irritating, not only to my wallet, but just to my peace of mind. It kind of breaks the schedule up. I don't like it anymore. It was okay when Marvel Now started, but it's really bothering me.
I don't know, man. I couldn't disagree with you more. Surprise, surprise. More comics is always a good thing to me.
I don't know.
The reason I like it is because I don't know when to expect it. So there are times where I'll close a comic and be like, oh, man, I wish I didn't have to wait a month for that. And then the next week I'm like, oh, I didn't have to wait a month for that. There's very rarely a time where I'm going to go, hey, stop, slow those comics down. That's too much comics right there.
Well, maybe it's the pessimist in me, but I just make the assumption I swear to God, I hate you. No, what I'm saying is I feel like there's a finite amount of good storytelling in each crop of writers. And I'm afraid that we're quickly burning through them. And sooner rather than later, we're going to go back to the late 80s, early 90s, where all comics just sucked. Like, so I want to spread it out and let, you know, all these, you know, let the Hickmans, let the Bendises, let these guys, you know, the Lemires slow burn through all their good ideas before we come to the end. Because honestly, we're going to come to the end eventually of these guys' great writing sprees.
I mean, when does Brian Michael Bendis sleep?
He's going to eventually, and when he does, he's going to fall into like a 6-month-long coma.
I almost won't be mad. Like, I think I'll be like, he earned it.
Yeah, he does. All right, well, how about we review some books?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Now, I'll kick it off. You know, when I reviewed issue 1 of this book, I know you poo-pooed it a little bit, Tyler, but I don't care because I'm reviewing issue 2 of Astro City anyway, and I'm going to reiterate what I said about issue 1. I love this book so far, and I like it because I don't have any history on the universe. It's kind of cool to me. I fended off the urge to go back and read the back issues of the old run of this and just enjoy it as a new title. And I really am. I don't know the characters, but I'm really sucked into the story, and I want to know what the hell's going on here. This is in no way a standard by the numbers sort of book yet. Once again, we're treated to some cool world building here, and we see it again through the eyes of a non-superhero. This one who happens to work in some sort of massive hero call center, which was kind of cool. A cool idea. Just like issue 1, the superheroes come across kind of more like backdrop flair more than anything else. Now, I'm sure at some point this book's going to turn into dudes wearing capes, punching other dudes wearing capes, and I'm fine with it. But for now, I'm just going to enjoy the really well-done storytelling. So I give this book a solid 4 Gold Jerd stars. I like it.
This is going to surprise you, but I actually read this issue too, and I liked it a lot. I'm not 100% sold on this book yet, but I will continue to buy it. This issue was a lot better. It was a lot better. The whole call center process thing was really cool. It was really cool, and just done really well. So no, the first issue was a little off-putting, but this issue was enough to make me go, okay, there's some cool ideas here, and I want to see them play out.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, I still am saying this, though, is it bugs me a little bit that this is a Vertigo title, simply because every other day it seems that someone will say that Vertigo is closing their doors, and I don't know what will happen to this title if that actually happens.
But I mean, it's not like DC can't just absorb it and put it out to its real. I mean, it's clearly grabbing a lot of things out of its Vertigo brand and pulling them to the DC brand now. It's got to be doing that for a reason. So I imagine this is one of the things that would jump the ship pretty quick.
I hope so. So that's all I got to say about that. I recommend readers jump in on this while it's early and you don't have to grab a lot of back issues.
The book I'm going to review here is actually kind of, I don't know, am I going to pull a Geoff Johns by giving Trinity War spoilers? I want to review Justice League 22, which is the starting chapter. Now, that being said, there was a prelude chapter, the first issue of the now ongoing Pandora. Whew, that was bad. But I actually didn't get through that. I didn't pick that up. This was surprisingly interesting. I don't have really high hopes for this story. That's not to say I'm not looking forward to it, but I just nothing about this jumps out at me as being very groundbreaking. This is very clearly like, well, we're, you know, Justice League versus Justice League versus Justice League. You know, it's DC's heroes fighting heroes. They needed to do one because Marvel's been doing them so well. And I think it'll be a fun ride. This being said, the opening chapter I thought was a little bit more interesting than I expected, and the significance of the society is becoming really apparent.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously with Villains Month coming up and all of that whatever the other thing, the villains are about to become very important. But I don't know, it was a good starting chapter. Now, that being said, I also thought Age of Ultron had a good starting chapter. So, I mean, take it with a grain of salt.
True.
The first book is always the best book, typically, in an event. So we'll see how it goes. But I was pretty happy with it. And I definitely don't want to see the end of this before I actually read it, if I can avoid it.
Yeah, I dug it. I wasn't really looking forward to this event. And I was pleasantly surprised by this issue for a couple reasons. The most important one to me, though, and I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people are just going to raise an eyebrow at me, but I got so psyched when the Question showed up. I love that character. I've always loved that character. I miss him, and I'm happy to see him back. I'm curious as to how he fits into all this, because
you would know if you read a lot of the back stuff. He's the third part of the Trinity of Sin. I think he's getting his own book, and it's the Trinity of Sin book. I'm pretty sure. But he's the other part of it. He's the third figure.
Cool. It was good. I dug it. I will say this. I don't like the trend. Everyone knows that's listened to this podcast, I hate the concept of heroes dying and then coming back. That bugs me. What I hate even more is characters dying and then coming back within an issue. And what I hate even more is characters dying and then 3 pages later being told, haha, it was a trick, he's not really dead. Really? It's getting old and overplayed. It bugged me. It took away the shock value moment of the issue. Spoiler alert, you know, at this point, if you're listening to a review of a book, you know, whatever. When Superman blasts Dr. Light in the face, I was like, oh, crap. You know, it was surprising to me.
Yeah.
And then to be told 3 pages later, ha, 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 he's not really dead by some sinister figure. I was like, oh, come on, really?
Now, did he say he wasn't dead, or did he just say that I made it look like Superman killed him?
Either way, doesn't matter to me. You know they didn't kill Dr. Light. You know they haven't killed Madame Xanadu, although I wish they would.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, fingers crossed.
Yeah, but you know they're not dead. It's going to come out that, you know, Dr. Light is a changeling or something else, or, you know, or some other craziness, just like they were doing with the robots of the Justice League over in, you know, Justice League of America, and you don't know who is who and blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's fine, but at least let it play out for a couple issues. You know, let me think Dr. Light is dead, please, because who needs Dr. Light, let's be honest.
Of all the people, I know. Really, Dr. Light.
Right. And why couldn't he absorb the light from the I-beams and survive?
But Dr. Light.
All right. Fair enough. But anyway, I'm with you on this. So what do you rate this book, Tyler?
I would give this one a solid 7. Yeah, I would call it a solid 7 Justice League badges. It was a good book. It was a good opening salvo. I hope it maintains its status, but it made me a little bit more excited. And also, a book that we frequently complain about, it was nice to see a good, solid issue from start to finish that didn't have a Shazam ending to it.
Justice League badges? Really?
Yeah, I guess you're right. They don't need no stinking badges.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh,
I set him up. Back him down.
I cannot find a new co-host fast enough. I swear to God. All right. So, next book I want to talk about, I don't know. I'm really torn every time I read Green Arrow. And issue 22 is no different. On one hand, I'm a little tired of all the revamping of everyone's origins that's going on right now. Not just with DC characters, but Marvel's as well. The latest arc in Iron Man is a prime example. I get that a lot of these older characters' origins are a little rudimentary, naive at best maybe, but people have already gone back and fleshed so many of these stories out. You know, Green Arrow Year One is spectacular, so I'm not sold on going through it all again and adding multiple layers of intrigue on top of it like it was a J.J. Abrams TV show. And on top of that, this issue, we're going back and we're kind of kicking the classic Mike Grell series, Longbow Hunters, in the junk by introducing Shadow like this. I mean, I don't know how I feel about it. I think this is really the first time where the whole history wipe that happened with the New 52 has really bothered me. And not to mention, I kind of miss the older Oliver Queen. I'm not digging this younger version to kind of go with the Arrow TV show. So there's all of that. But then on the other hand, we've got Jeff Lemire, who's writing just solid work, coupled with Andrea Sorrentino's beautiful artwork. It's got a really rugged quality about it, but the sense of composition is bar none. There's one two-page spread when Count Vertigo touches Green Arrow's forehead in this issue that I want as a print hanging on my wall. It was just amazing. So I'm conflicted. The book deserves a solid 4.5 stars, in my opinion. But my personal baggage when it comes to one of my favorite DC characters makes me want to drop it down to 3.5. So I don't know. How about we split the difference and I'll give it a very solid 4 gold jerd stars?
I've always suspected that of all the people who, I mean, I'm not one, so I can't vouch for this, but I figured someday I would find a Green Arrow fan. And I always assumed that a Green Arrow fan would tell me that he, of all people, was most upset with New 52. Because I did like old Ollie, because it was interactions with Hal were fun. Like, every time
right.
they got together, you're going to have a good time. And the young Green Arrow is, I thought that book was unreadable. I legitimately stopped pulling it. I couldn't. It was bad. I just really felt like they kind of pooped all over the character. And I understand they tried to revitalize it, and obviously then the show and all of that. But that of all of the things that have gotten changed due to the big explosion of entertainment and comics now, I think that is the franchise that maybe truly got hurt the worst.
I agree. Now, yeah, the first couple issues of this book were not great. But in my opinion, it ramped up really quick. I'd have to go back and look, but I think by about issue 6, I thought it caught stride. And if I didn't have in my head the entire history of Green Arrow for back from the, you know, through the 70s, 80s, you know, early 90s, I don't think I would have this problem. So I don't know. If I was a new reader, I probably wouldn't be so irritated by the history changes, you know, because it wouldn't matter. I don't know. It doesn't bother me on any of the other books. It's just this one that really kind of puts my quiver in a twist. I don't know, man.
Because this one is the one that really got changed. Of all the other things, they're essentially the same. Hal Jordan is still Hal Jordan. You know, Barry is Barry's, and Wally's are Wally's, and you know, everybody is everybody. And Green Arrow is a D-bag young kid, and it's just... They just dramatically turned what you liked upside down. It's not unsurprising that you don't like it. It's too bad. I always felt bad for Green Arrow fans because I knew in that small, tight-knit group, basically a small group of arrows and a half-shot quiver, all of you were probably really upset about it. And I was right.
Yes.
So I found one of you.
Yes, I, the lone Green Arrow fan, am upset. Jackass.
You should write a letter.
Oh, Christ.
They'll know it's you because that book makes $3.99 a month.
That son of a bitch. I don't even know how to respond to you right now. Shut up and review another book.
Okay, well, then let's talk about something that you'll actually really... Something we'll both agree on. Let's bring it together. Let's group hug. I'm going to talk about Wolverine number 6. Now, Wolverine doesn't piss me off as much as he pisses you off, in the sense that we both agree Wolverine is in way too many things. He is in everything. He's in literally everything. But at the same time, like, I actually like the character. Growing up as a kid, I thought Wolverine, cool, he got claws and stuff. I mean, every little kid tries to pop his claws. This book does two things really wrong, and I can't abide it any longer. This book does one of the biggest comic crimes in that when a comic tries to tell a story that's been told several times before and acts very much like it's telling a story that's never been told. The premise of the last two issues of this book were essentially that Wolverine was trapped on a helicarrier that was underwater. And it was filling with water for various reasons. I'm not going to get into the ridiculous plot of this book to begin with, because it's a Wolverine book it's just ridiculous. But the point of it was that Wolverine, and it was billed, this was advertised, as Wolverine's going to be continuously drowned. And in doing that, it's going to hurt his healing factor. And now Wolverine will have to figure out how to deal with that for the first time ever. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back the train up. I can think of at least three different Wolverine stories that were about how he lost his healing factor for one reason or another and had to figure out how to deal with that. One of them wasn't even that long ago. It was in the last Wolverine volume, the one that this replaced. It was literally a whole story about a guy who kept giving him diseases and stuff until it eventually wore him down and he wasn't able to heal as fast. Except here's the even weirder part. He doesn't drown. He doesn't drown. It doesn't actually happen. So what? But still at the end of it, it's for another reason. He loses his healing factor, and we're supposed to pretend this has never happened before. This book is bad. This book is bad. This book is like it never read a Wolverine book before. And there's so many Wolverine books, you have no excuse for that. Every book is a Wolverine book at the end of the day. I am giving this 3 claws.
Ooh.
Yeah, 3 claws. And it's lucky that I didn't just put up the middle one. This book is not fun to read. The first issue was really good, and every issue since has been an absolute just head-scratching, what is going on here and why is it happening? And now the next storyline is all about him having no healing factor, and he's coughing up blood, and he can't pop his claws because the wounds don't close. And we've just done this before, and if you're going to do it again, that's fine. But don't feed me the dinner I had last night and call it that leftovers. Like, this is the same story I've read 1,000 times. And to act like I never have is just an insult to my history.
I don't read this book. And yeah, I'm glad I don't, because, man, wow.
Yeah, it's everything you hate about a Wolverine book. It really is. Savage Wolverine is a really good book, and I highly recommend it. That you can tell a good Wolverine story and you can make a good Wolverine comic. This is not one of them. And I don't even think fans of Wolverine would enjoy it.
Alrighty then. Well, I think I should follow in the same vein then. Because I want to take a minute and apologize to the listeners.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. If anyone bought Polarity on my glowing review of issue 1, I am deeply sorry. Now, we reviewed issue 2. And I expressed my displeasure. But our guest host at the time, and in fact, I think Tyler as well, convinced me that the change in the storytelling was probably by design and that it probably was going to turn around by issue 3. Well, here we are 2 issues later at the end of the miniseries. And let me tell you, things did not get any better. This book sucks so hard, I'm surprised Dynamite isn't publishing it. I mean, I've read more entertaining issues of Sky Mall. Like, this... This is just horrible. So don't buy this in trade, no matter what you do. I don't care if your hipster buddy tells you how cool Max Bemis is. They're full of shit and should be summarily punched right in the dick. All right? If I could take stars back from my review of issue 1, I would. But since I can't, I'm going to give this half a Jerd star. And that half star is simply because the colorist managed to keep it in the lines. What a pile of trash.
Nice.
This, oh, Jesus Christ, this was bad. What a waste.
I haven't seen a lot of people talk about this book, but every single person I've seen talk about this book says the exact same thing as you. That they basically got bamboozled by the first issue and the rest was just utter crap.
Man, issue 1 was great. And issue 2 sucked. Issue 3 was horrible. And issue 4, issue 4 was dog shit.
Wow.
Sorry, I hate to just be so brutal about a comic, but man, go back to singing in your crappy band, dude. Stop writing comics.
Wow. Wow. All right. Well, tell me how you really feel.
I'm holding back, man. I'm holding back.
I can tell. Yeah. All right. Well, you know what? I'm gonna raise the positivity of this podcast and talk about something, a book that finally answered a question for me. It finally sealed the deal. I have made my decision. Dan Slott, Superior Spider-Man, I'm in. I like it. I have decided I like it. I like Doc Ock Spidey. I don't want it to change. I am very much down for this. And I'll tell you, Superior Spider-Man 13 came out this week. It is basically the end of the first era. The next issue starts what is Doc Ock is now shed all parts of Peter Parker and has really established who he is going to be as Spider-Man and Peter Parker going forward. It is very different. The next issue starts the new costume, which I love. It starts a whole lot. It's the beginning of a lot of things and a lot of big things happening for the Spider-Man world. I mean, there's immediately going to be a crossover between him and Scarlet Spider. Speaking of Scarlet Spiders, Ben Reilly's coming back. Most people are mad. I'm real stoked. And so I mostly because I just hope they make the hoodie. So this book was the final chapter of it. And once you read through all of this, when you read these 13 issues, if you aren't convinced at the beginning, like I wasn't, you will at least walk away saying, I see why you did this now. Now that it's all come to a head, now that we've made who this character is going to be, this was a thing that needed to happen. And it's, I think we're better for it. I think the Marvel Universe will be better for this. It's not going to last forever, I'm sure. There's going to be things, and there's even, it kind of got leaked and has now been confirmed that there's going to be a 5-part miniseries in, I think, October called Peter Parker, Spider-Man. It's going to be flashbacks, but it's actually written by David Morrell, who is a fantastic espionage and action author, who also just so happened to create a dude called Rambo. You may have heard of him. David Morrell is the author who wrote the books that those movies were based off of, which most folks don't even realize were based off of books. But anyway, I digress. He's writing it. So Peter Parker's not going away, but they've made it very clear Peter Parker's not coming back in 2013. That they have said essentially you're only going to see him in flashbacks. He ain't coming back. And if you really hate Doc Ock Spidey, even if you go through all this, it sucks. I'm sorry because he's here to stay. But I don't think you could really hate it if you really go all the way through, especially even being a long, long-term Spider-Man fan, long as anything. That's a thing that I'm pretty stoked. I like it.
Well, cool. I mean, I'm at the point now where I'm not going to add new books to my pull list probably. And I've been off Spider-Man for a long time, but I'm glad to hear it's coming around. Hopefully no one's going to try and take him out at Comic-Con. You know,
I know, right?
It's so much. I mean, if anything, he knows how to generate some controversy. I'll give him that.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, controversy creates cash. That's what they say. I don't know. I think he really did. For a long time, I thought, this guy's just flying by the seat of his pants. This is we're getting bamboozled. And now that it's all come together, you realize, no, there really was a plan this whole time. And it all clicks. And I like it a lot.
Cool. So what do you rate this issue?
I'm giving this issue 9 out of 10 thwips. Oh. Yeah, this was a really great book. I mean, it's just, there's not a lot, I don't think, ever that will get a 10 out of 10 from me. But so that's pretty much as close I'm ever going to get to a perfect score. And I will happily give it to this book. I was real happy with it from start to finish, cover to cover.
Nice. Okay, everybody. Before we go any further in the podcast, I want to let you in on a little promotion we're going to be doing and let you know how to participate. See, we here at Geek Legacy want to reward our loyal listeners. So what we're going to be doing starting next podcast is giving away digital codes to both your and our favorite titles. Now, how this is going to work is after each issue of the Comic Corner, anyone that does one of two things will be entered into a randomizer to win codes for two books that week.
And what are those?
All right, calm down, Skippy. I'm getting to it. One, anyone who tweets or retweets out a link to the latest episode using the hashtag GeekLegacyRules so I can track it. Or two, reviews the show on iTunes and leaves their Twitter handle in the review. Do either of those things to help us spread the word about the show, and we're going to give you stuff. How awesome is that?
Yeah, free stuff is the very best kind of stuff.
I concur. So again, that starts next issue of the Comic Corner podcast, which will be in 2 weeks from now. Now, why is it going to be in 2 weeks? Well, because as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm off to Comic-Con with the rest of the Geek Legacy staff. Well, not the rest of the Geek Legacy staff, because the managing editor for comics isn't going. Sucker!
I'll be at everything else, but this is not one I will be at. It makes me so sad.
That's all right. That's right. And here's why it's okay, because there's not a lot of comic-related stuff happening at Comic-Con this year. I mean, I'm excited to go, don't get me wrong, and I had a blast last year, but out of all the panels happening, I think I'm only signed up for two comic-related panels. I'm going to be attending the Jeff Johns panel on Trinity War, and hopefully he doesn't spoil the ending there. and I'm going to go to the panel with Brian Bendis discussing what's happening in the X-Men coming up. Other than that, a lot of movie stuff, a lot of video game stuff, a lot of how to get your work published in comic stuff, but not a lot of big news or events happening right now that are being announced, unfortunately.
You know, it's funny too, because I really wish I was going. There's no part of me that would ever deny that. But I want to go for the experience and the shenanigans and to probably, you know, bail Justin out of jail. Other than that, you know, that's it. From a comic perspective, especially like a comic writer perspective, I don't even have things that I'm overwhelmingly concerned about reporting next week. Like, I feel like everything is already out. Dear God, we're already talking about the thing after Infinity. Are they going to tell me what happens after Inhumanity too? Like, what else could be announced at this point? So I'm very excited to see a lot of things to come out, but a lot of those things are about the movies and about the TV shows and about that stuff and things that I care about because of the world of comics. But at the end of the day, it's not a lot of comics things that come out. It's going to be a great show, and I know there will be surprises, and I know there will be things where I'm stoked, and I know they'll be comic related. But going in, there's not, you know, even last year and a couple years before, there were things you wanted to hear about. And this year, you just kind of feel like there's things you want to hear about, it's just you've already heard about them. They're just going to tell you more. And then more is good, but it's just not as surprising.
Yeah, and I think really it all boils down to the fact that as much as we love comics, Marvel and DC are both turning into entertainment companies. They're not just comic companies anymore. I mean, so much coming out of Marvel is going to be about, you know, Phase 2 and the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show and things like that, which are their focus, and I get that and I respect that. But man, I don't know, I would like to see more comic-related stuff happening. And don't get me wrong, there's a ton of comic-related stuff, but I'd like to see more talent talking up on stage in panels. I'd like to see more than just, here's what's happening in Trinity, here's what's happening with Battle of the Atom, and yeah, there we go. I don't know.
Exactly.
But it's going to be a good time. Definitely looking forward to it. We're going to have a ton of stuff up at Geek Legacy talking about it. I will say this, regardless of the news that comes out, I'm expecting there to be not reveals so much, but a lot of cool things to happen in interviews. And just like we were talking about with Jeff Johns, this is where the writers, they slip, they start talking, and they're going to say stuff that's going to be cool. And hopefully it's not spoilerish, but then maybe it'll give us some idea of what's coming down the line. Because while it's nice to know what the big events are, sometimes I'd like to know what the writers of my favorite smaller series have planned. Like, I'd love to know what's coming, you know, or what the next arc is going to be for Animal Man or things like that. You know, no one that's not going to be a panel discussion at Comic-Con, but it'd be nice to hear. So I'm looking forward to some stuff like that, definitely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There will definitely be cool things. It's just, it's not a fan or show for comic fans anymore. It's not. I mean, it is. It absolutely is. But it's not just for that. And you to expect it. And it's why New York Comic Con exists, I think. That's where it's really more about the comic part of the con. But it's either way, it's going to be an awesome show. There's definitely going to be a lot of shit to talk about, and we will definitely be covering it like crazy at Geek Legacy.
Oh, definitely. Shenanigans are going to abound.
Oh, yeah, there will be shenanigans.
And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to have to bail both our editors out at least twice over the weekend. At least.
Yeah, can you get bailed twice? I don't know that they'll let you out the second time.
As That's a good
point. Oh, back to get, eh?
That's a good point. I'm going to bail them out once and then point at them and laugh a second time.
Yeah, that sounds more like it.
Well, that about wraps it up, boys and girls. It's time to turn the lights off in the Jerd Cave for a week while I and the rest of the staff bask in the glory of all that Comic-Con has to offer. So make sure you keep your eyes glued to GeekLacy.com next week for all your Comic-Con news. And be sure you're following me on Twitter at TheMightyJerd for tons of pictures, videos, and cool tidbits as the convention rages on. In the meantime, my boy Tyler here is going to be holding down the fort, so make sure you keep him company. He can be found on Twitter at
Batman Inc. VP.
All right, everyone. See you in 2 weeks.